This is Radio Pennsylvania Roundtable, an in-depth analysis and recap of the issues making headlines in our state this week. Now, from the Harrisburg studios of the Radio Pennsylvania Network, here's Tory Gates.
Welcome to this special year-end edition of the Roundtable. We are looking back at some of the top, but also most compelling stories of 2019. Let's begin with the Wolf administration, which could point to some progress this past year. Among the accomplishments Governor Tom Wolf could point to, the first deposit of significance into Pennsylvania's Rainy Day Fund to the tune of $317 million, an executive order that takes the first steps toward the Commonwealth joining the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, criminal justice reforms, and investment in agriculture through the PA Farm Bill. Election reform also took precedence as the governor signed legislation overhauling Pennsylvania's regulations.
For too long, Pennsylvania has made it too hard for citizens to actually fully participate in our democracy. Today, I'm going to sign a bill making the most significant changes to our election code since it was written, that election code, more than 80 years ago. These changes will make it easier for people to vote, participate in our democracy, actually to take care of the most fundamental responsibility of citizenship, voting. It's going to help to ensure that every Pennsylvanian, Pennsylvanians who work long hours, Pennsylvanians who care for children, Pennsylvanians who frequently travel, Pennsylvanians who are sick, Pennsylvanians who are juggling many commitments in their community, every single Pennsylvanian who can vote is going to have access to our polls. Right now, Pennsylvania is in the middle of the pack for voter turnout. We have a turnout rate of eligible voters of about 51%. That was as of 2018, in the 2018 election. The legislation I'm signing today makes changes that align with the election code in states with the highest voter turnout, not where we are. There are changes in four major areas. First, we're reducing the deadline to register to vote from 30 days to 15 days. Before an election. Cutting the deadline in half will encourage more Pennsylvanians to vote. Second, Pennsylvanians will now be allowed to vote by mail. And unlike absentee voting, a voter does not need to provide an excuse to have this option. This is no excuse absentee voting. It shouldn't matter why you can't get to the polls. I only care, and I think all of us only care, that you can get to the polls, that you have the chance to cast your ballot. Pennsylvanians can now join a permanent mailing list to automatically receive an application by mail for a mail-in ballot or absentee ballot each and every year. And they will be able to request their mail-in ballot during the longest period of time in the nation, 50 days. There is no other state that long a time. Third, more absentee voters will have their vote counted because they will now have up until 8 p.m. on election day, or the time, that's from the time the polls close in Pennsylvania, to submit their absentee ballot. This deadline will also apply for mail-in ballots. Prior to this legislation, Pennsylvania had the most restrictive absentee ballot deadline in the nation. Ballots had to be received by the county by 5 p.m. on the Friday before the Tuesday election. That meant absentee voters were missing 4 days worth of information gathering that in-person voters had. And it resulted in thousands of ballots being ineligible each election because voters missed the deadline. Last month, I made an absentee ballot applications available online, and that is also now a permanent part of this law, of our law, thanks to this bill. Finally, the bill I'm signing today will make the most critical fixes to ensure that we have safe, secure, and smooth elections. And that includes a $90 million bond to help $90 million bond effort to help counties fund new and secure voting systems. Most of the counties have already done this. This $90 million will go to counties all across Pennsylvania. This bill also has the prohibition of write-in candidate stickers, which have jammed voting machines, causing delays at voting booths, and the processing of absentee and mail-in ballots at a central location in each county. This bill will make major headways to ensure that every Pennsylvanian will have his or her voice heard in the election process. It will help Pennsylvania's elect officials at all levels that match the makeup of their community by guaranteeing every citizen the same opportunity to submit their vote. I am proud of this bill because it represents a true bipartisan compromise that advances the interests of every Pennsylvanian. This law has the potential to improve the fairness of our elections for decades to come. It allows more Pennsylvanians to participate in creating our shared future, and it eases the work of the thousands of volunteers at polling locations all across our state who make our democracy possible. So I want to thank Senator Lisa Buscola for sponsoring this legislation. You'll hear from her in just a minute. The leadership and staff in both the House and the Senate for their hard work in bringing this important piece of legislation across the finish line. The many, many legislators in both parties who have attempted to advance voting reforms in the past. And Common Cause, the ACLU of Pennsylvania, the League of Women Voters, and all the other voting rights and good government groups who have fought all across Pennsylvania for this. This is proof of the good government can accomplish when we work together as a team for the benefit of every citizen. It's also in the best interest of our democracy.
There was also the product of Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman's listening tour regarding the legalization of marijuana for recreational purposes.
In the report, the Lieutenant Governor concluded that Pennsylvanians support the legalization of adult-use recreational marijuana. So again, as I said, I have reviewed the findings of this report, and as a result, we are calling for three actions, two that we should take immediately, and then a third that might take a little bit longer. The first is based on feedback from residents. We are calling on the legislature to get a bill to my desk decriminalizing nonviolent and small cannabis-related offenses. There are examples of this. Representative Gainey has introduced a bill that would do this. Earlier this year, that reduces possession of a small amount of marijuana from a misdemeanor, converting that to a summary offense. But Representative Barry Joswiak has also introduced a bill in the House, in the Senate. I think Senator Sharif Street and Senator Bartolotta have also introduced bills to that effect. So this is a great start for the broader issue of criminal justice reform, and so I applaud you for that. Second, the same overwhelming response was heard from residents to expunge the records of people previously convicted of these crimes. So we're seeking a path to restorative justice through the expungement of past convictions of nonviolent and small cannabis-related crimes. This has the potential to affect tens of thousands of Pennsylvanians, many of whom have had their lives shattered by a conviction on an action that most Pennsylvanians do not believe is a crime. As you know, I've made criminal justice reform a priority, and I have successfully worked with the legislature in a bipartisan way to create things like the Clean Slate Bill, which has sealed antiquated records for thousands of Pennsylvanians, allowing them to move on with their lives. It eliminates Pennsylvanians from a lifetime of suffering due to the possession of a small amount of marijuana that I think if we can reduce the consequences of that, that's going to be an amazing thing. It's a work bill. It's a jobs bill. Together, we can get more Pennsylvanians back to work, working across the aisle in this building, and we can prevent them from being kept from renting an apartment or attending school due to this type of nonviolent conviction that happened in their past life. So those are the first two things that I think we can do immediately. Then finally, we are calling for the General Assembly to seriously debate marijuana legalization. There are multiple bills introduced to advance that measure, and with support from many legislators, including Jake Wheatley in the House, Senator Sharif Street in the Senate, that they agree with the many Pennsylvanians with making adult use regulated marijuana use legal.
Lieutenant Governor Fetterman also weighed in on his 67-county tour.
And we heard from a broad range of individuals from all across Pennsylvania, all walks of life. The largest crowd exceeded over 400 in Lancaster. So we had events, successful events, all across Pennsylvania. I also want to thank my staff, who in many cases came with me across 67 counties in 93 days. And it was a really amazing experience to get out and have this conversation. And to be clear, several themes emerged that were beyond question. That first, Pennsylvanians, almost to the point of unanimous support, don't think that your life should be damaged, ruined, compromised in any way for small, nonviolent marijuana or drug paraphernalia convictions. They also believe that cannabis shouldn't be criminalized in a way that could impact your life going forward. So the decriminalization of it is not even controversial. In fact, it was a unanimous sentiment expressed no matter what county I was in. And to the governor's call for actions, these are two actionable things that we could move on right away and make it in a way that there's almost unanimous support for. And to that end, I am directing Secretary Flood of the Board of Pardons to create a specific mechanism within the Board of Pardons to aggregate and expedite the pardon process for small marijuana nonviolent convictions and drug paraphernalia convictions. So in other words, we've waived the fee, so it doesn't cost you anything. I would encourage every Pennsylvanian that has one of these charges to apply for a pardon today so we can help you get beyond those small convictions and definitively issue a pardon. This proposal enjoys the full support of the governor and my office and the Board of Pardons is too, to make sure we free Pennsylvanians from this incredible burden that's an unnecessary and is supported by the people of Pennsylvania.
Coming up next, issues of health and the weather when Radio Pennsylvania Roundtable returns.
The Western Pennsylvania Conservancy protects our region's lush forested ridges and valleys, restores miles of rivers and streams, and helps wildlife thrive. For 87 years, we've preserved our region's most exceptional places like Ohio Pile, Raccoon Creek, and Erie Bluffs, and many of the other places you enjoy. As a member-based nonprofit, we can't do it without you. For more information on memberships or to help protect our places, visit waterlandlife.org.
Have you heard about Pennsylvania eWIC? eWIC is a quick, easy, and convenient way for families on WIC to use their benefits at the grocery store. Your eWIC card will save you time at the checkout. No more paper checks. You can buy your WIC foods in as many shopping trips as you need. Don't miss out. Call 800-WIC-WINS. That's 800-942-9467. Or get started online at pawic.com.
This institution is an equal opportunity provider, paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Curious about the world around you? From politics and gardening to unlocking the secrets of longevity, experience Mind Matters, a free series created especially for baby boomers and beyond. Mind Matters is a series for older adults to watch, learn about new things, and then engage with their peers. Contact your local senior center for more information. To locate your nearest center, visit aging.pa.gov. That's aging.pa.gov.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. Health matters took center stage in 2019, including the opioid epidemic and the issue of tobacco use and vaping. On the latter, lawmakers passed legislation raising the legal age to purchase these products from 18 to 21, and that was signed into law by Governor Wolf. It takes effect on July 1, 2020. The more serious concern involved vaping and the wave of lung-related illnesses and some deaths connected to the practice. State Health Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine sounded the alarm.
As this investigation continues, it has really become clear that we do not really know what is causing these serious and even life-threatening and even fatal lung injury cases to occur. And when I say we, I don't just mean us at the Pennsylvania Department of Health, but nationally and including the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. I strongly urge anyone who is vaping illegally bought products, in particular, illegally bought products with THC, to stop. The vast majority of these cases are associated with illegally bought cartridges, vaping cartridges, particularly those with THC, with vaping devices. In addition, there can be possible risks with even legally purchased products. We want to inform people that investigations are ongoing, and we advise that people use extreme caution before you really using any vaping product at this time. The fact that we have seen a death, in addition to patients with very serious lung disease, underscores the importance that people be aware of the symptoms associated with this illness. The signs and symptoms of potential lung injury associated with vaping include cough, shortness of breath, chest pain, nausea or vomiting, diarrhea, fatigue, fever, or weight loss. All of the cases nationally have only the common factor is that people have used vaping devices. And again, particularly those illegal devices associated with THC. Please see your healthcare provider immediately if you or a loved one are showing these signs or symptoms. What we are seeing is truly a public health emergency. Now, in Pennsylvania, we do not have the ability to declare a public health emergency, which would allow us to take several emergency actions to address this crisis. And that is why Governor Wolf and I both support proposed legislation that would allow for the declaration of a public health emergency in situations such as this. The United States Surgeon General, Dr. Jerome Adams, has gone so far as to call it an epidemic, that teen vaping over the last number of years is an epidemic. The number of high school students vaping has increased by 1.5 million students from 2017 to 2018. And that is why we fully support efforts to raise the age of tobacco use, including vaping products, to 21. This would make it illegal for anyone under the age of 21 to buy tobacco products, such as cigarettes, cigars, and e-cigarettes, and those vaping devices. And it would also make it illegal for retailers to sell those products to those under 21. We strongly support those actions. In terms of the vaping-associated lung disease, we don't know all the chemicals in these products, whether they're brought commercially or off the street illegally. E-cigarette aerosol is not harmless water vapor. The aerosol can also contain ultrafine particles that can be inhaled into the lungs, volatile organic compounds, cancer-causing chemicals, and potentially even heavy metals, such as nickel, tin, and lead. Vitamin E oil, which you might put in a lotion on your skin, has been involved with some of these illegally bought products, and in the lungs, that can cause serious damage. Now, I want to speak for a few moments about our medical marijuana program. Pennsylvania's medical marijuana program is designed to assist patients struggling with 23 serious medical conditions. Medical marijuana is medicine. Any type of medicine inherently can have some risk. For those individuals who are part of the medical marijuana program and are vaping and using vaping products as part of the program, we encourage them to have a conversation with their physician or the pharmacist with the dispensary to discuss their best care. I want to close by stating that this investigation, both in Pennsylvania and across the country, is one that is constantly evolving and changing frequently. We will continue to work to take whatever steps are necessary to protect the lives of Pennsylvanians. And I want to emphasize one more time is that the vast majority of cases of vaping-associated lung disease in the United States have been associated with illegally bought vaping cartridges, particularly those with THC, and then the vaping devices. And that is what is most implicated and has the most potential serious complications. And we want people to stop using those type of products.
In recent years, the weather suddenly began to make its way into the news cycle. With climate change-related alterations in weather patterns and harsher storms, Pennsylvania has seen more of one particular system. Tornadoes. Radio PA reporter Mark Sims spoke with Mike D'Angelo, senior National Weather Service forecaster in State College, about a spate of twisters that struck the state.
It's not unusual for Pennsylvania. I think tornadoes happen every year. However, on average, Pennsylvania only gets about 13 or 14 tornadoes in a year. This is the time of year that we get them, though, spring and early summertime, as the air starts to warm up around us. It causes more showers and thunderstorms, and some of those thunderstorms, if we get the right conditions with the wind, some of those thunderstorms could rotate, and the bottoms of the storms could have some tornadoes in them.
Okay, and I think we've seen some EF1 and EF2 tornadoes. Can you just talk about what those mean exactly in terms of what people see and what damage is like and things like that?
Sure. The EF scale is known as the Enhanced Fujita Scale. Dr. Ted Fujita came up with a scale of damage based on wind speed. And he was some of the research that he did was based back in World War II after Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombs blew up. The wind speed is then calculated after the fact, so no EF scale is given to a tornado until a proper survey can be done. In the damage that we see from an EF1 tornado, Winds are usually around 100 miles an hour, and an EF2 tornado can have winds of 120, maybe 130 miles an hour. And that kind of damage, the damage increases with the increasing number on the EF scale. So a 1 is not as strong as a 2.
And what's does the Weather Service, or is it easy to I know there's like tornado alerts and things like that, or
sure, we send out tornado warnings when we believe there's going to be a tornado, or if there is a tornado on the ground, we will send out a tornado warning. Before the tornado warnings come out, we like to have a severe thunderstorm watch or tornado watch in place so that people can understand that those conditions are ripe for tornadoes to form out of thunderstorms.
And if people get that alert, how can they prepare? What should they do, you know, if there's an alert or a tornado, they, you know, suspect there's a tornado, you know, coming toward their house?
Listen to the words of the warning. You know, listen to the cities that would be impacted. If you have the chance and you have the ability on the web or, you know, through your smartphone, figure out if you're in the path of the tornado by checking on the maps that we will issue along with those alerts that are mainly text. But listening to the words of it, you know, listening to the safety messages that are on there, some are as simple as go inside, find the shelter on the lowest floor of the building that you're in.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if there's a particular place where people should go in their house, if you can just elaborate about that.
Yes, the general rule is get to the lowest floor of your home, whether it be the basement or the first floor. If you're in a building, though, and you can't get down, you know, quickly to a lower floor, get into the inside, and also in a home, get to the inside of your house. Try and put yourself in a place where there are no windows, because as debris is flung around by the tornadoes, it'll smash through windows much easily than going through a couple of walls.
In the areas that they're happening, is that normally where they happen, or can they happen really anywhere across?
They can happen anywhere across the state. I don't like hearing people say, oh, it'll never happen to me. I live in the mountains. Look where some of these tornadoes have occurred very recently. They're in the mountains, going over mountains. Nothing is going to protect you from a tornado.
And again, the message for the week is just basically to be prepared or to be alert or to be aware of what could happen. Is that basically your message?
Absolutely. And to start thinking about, you know, what you would do if there was a tornado heading towards your location. You know, if you, you know, if you're in the car, what do you do? Well, we have, you know, guidance for that, too, is if you're in the car, get out and get in a building. You know, cars can be tossed around by the strong winds of a tornado.
As of November, there were nearly 36 tornadoes, more than twice the average number Pennsylvania faces. In our final segment, politics remain a most compelling issue for 2019, and who is at the center of much of it, when Radio Pennsylvania Roundtable returns.
Have you heard about Pennsylvania eWIC? eWIC is a quick, easy, and convenient way for families on WIC to use their benefits at the grocery store. Your eWIC card will save you time at the checkout. No more paper checks. You can buy your WIC foods in as many shopping trips as you need. Don't miss out. Call 800-WIC-WINS. That's 800-942-9467. Or get started online at pawic.com.
This institution is an equal opportunity provider, paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
The Western Pennsylvania Conservancy protects our region's lush forested ridges and valleys, restores miles of rivers and streams, and helps wildlife thrive. For 87 years, we've preserved our region's most exceptional places like Ohio Pile, Raccoon Creek, and Erie Bluffs, and many of the other places you enjoy. As a member-based nonprofit, we can't do it without you. For more information on memberships or to help protect our places, visit waterlandlife.org.
Your backyard should be an oasis, not a challenge. With Steel, you can enjoy great value on tools that will get you there. Get a hard-working BG50 blower for just $139.95, and the reliable MS-170 chainsaw is just $179.95. Real Steel. Find yours. Find a dealer at stihldealers.com. All prices MSRP. Available at participating dealers.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. As he faces two and possibly more impeachment counts, President Donald Trump has continued to visit Pennsylvania, a state that proved key to his election victory in 2016. His most recent appearance was at the Giant Center in Hershey. Trump's speeches tend to be a version of a stump speech, and here he highlighted his administration's accomplishments, lashed out at those he perceived as enemies, and made no bones about what he thought of them.
But the impeachment hoax is about overturning your great 2016 vote, or in the alternative, trying to win the 2020 election. That's not going to happen. Yesterday, the Justice Department's Inspector General released a report detailing the outrageous, scandalous, and unprecedented abuses of power. Get her out. See, these guys want to be so politically correct. Yeah, get her out. You see that? I'll tell you, law enforcement's so great. That particular guy wanted to be so politically correct. Oh. We don't want to be politically correct. I don't know who he was. He didn't do the greatest job. So they tried to frame innocent people in the ludicrous. It all started with the Russia witch hunt, right? Then the Inspector General's shocking report proved that the Obama FBI obtained secret warrants to spy on my campaign based on a phony foreign dossier of debunked smears paid for by crooked Hillary Clinton and the DNC. The FBI failed to disclose the nature of the political hit job to the FISA court. They hid it, they deceived it, and they lied. The dossier was written by a discredited foreign agent who, quote, desperate that Donald Trump not get elected, and was passionate about him not being the United States president. What's this? Folks, they spied on our campaign, okay? They spied. Never happened before in the history of our country. And we're really wise to it. We're wise to it. The Inspector General found that the FBI's spying application contained 17 errors and omissions, commonly known as lies and deceit. When the FBI, and you have great people in the FBI, but not in leadership, you have not good people in leadership, you haven't had. When the FBI uncovered evidence showing that we did absolutely nothing wrong, which was right at the beginning, they hid that exonerating. You know that. They hid it. They hid it so nobody could see it, so they could keep this hoax going on for 2 years. They knew right at the beginning that it was all a frame-up, a setup. But they hid it so that nobody could see it, so they could keep it going on, thinking they were going to hurt us politically. But now we're stronger politically than we were ever before.
With polls suggesting one of many Democratic candidates could unseat Trump in 2020, Pennsylvania remains a state the president must keep hold of for re-election. And that brings us to the end of this year-end edition of Radio Pennsylvania Roundtable, heard on radio stations across the Commonwealth. The views and opinions of the host and guests do not necessarily reflect those of radio station ownership and management. From all of us here at the Radio Pennsylvania Network, we hope you have a safe and joyous holiday season and the happiest of New Years. Join me again next time for Radio Pennsylvania Roundtable. I'm Tory Gates.